The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I know that this is a holiday for many people, so I hope you're celebrating and eating barbecue and all kind of stuff on a holiday. I want to say happy Martin Luther King Day. Some people ain't going to like that I called Martin Luther King a Marxist, but was he a Marxist or was he not a Marxist? This show is going to be hot, so make sure you're ready and prepared. Make sure you're sitting down. I believe that Martin Luther King wasn't who we think he is or he was. I think that the media has really recreated a scenario that's very similar to what they've done with the narrative of police brutality in America, the same narrative of Black Lives Matter. I mean, I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you, in 20 years, we're going to look back and they're going to say that Black Lives Matter was an organization that inspired change. It was the new civil rights movement. They're going to tell you that black people were getting gunned down in the middle of the street unarmed by white racist police officers. And it was an epidemic. And that if it wasn't for people like Patrice Cullors, then buying mansions in white neighborhoods, that we would still be suffering from the effects of white racism. People to this day, they just made a monument in Boston that looked like a lady holding a turd in her hand. They made a monument in Boston. When I think of Boston, I don't think of Martin Luther King. I don't know about you, but I don't think about Martin Luther King. But anyway, they made a monument there. Why do they make monuments like this? Martin Luther King been dead for a very long time. They make monuments like this because they want to create the mind or create the image in the Negro's mind that you still a slave. Let's help you continue to remember segregation and the white man's world. They don't want you to let go of it. So every few years, they're going to keep punching this down your throat. And it bothers me because if you look at the facts, listen to people other than Martin Luther King at the time he was alive. He was not very popular in comparison to what he is today. Don't believe me. And before you get mad at me, make sure you do your research. Martin Luther King, many black people did not agree with Martin Luther King. And I want to tell you why. And this is where I really do believe that as black people in America is where our progress began to be digress. And I'm not saying every black person. There's a lot of successful black people in this country. But as a group, as a whole, as a race of people, the progress turned into digress after the 60s. Black people were married more than any other race in America. And now kids are born out of wedlock at 75%+. Black people are on government assistance and they vote for Democrats like nobody's business. When this wasn't the legacy of black people. Now, let me tell you why some black people were upset with Martin Luther King. It's because why do we need to eat at the white diner when we got our own places? Why do we need to try to ride their buses when we got our own bus system? Why do we need to integrate in their schools? We have our own schools. Why do we don't need their entertainment? We have our own entertainment district. We have our own economy. We have our own way of life. We don't need to bother them. They don't need to bother us. That used to be the sentiment, and many black people adhered to that sentiment because it was, in my opinion, what was best for black people at that time. I think that Martin Luther King was used. This is just my opinion. I think Martin Luther King was used, just like black leaders today are used to push an agenda. I think Martin Luther King was used to go in into certain places in Alabama and certain places in the South where he would create chaos to push an agenda. These people were bussed in just like they were bussed in at the in the Black Lives Matter movement. They're bussed in to demonstrate. Cameras are ready. Protesters are ready. Activists are ready to demonstrate in order to push a particular agenda that I don't even know if most black people agreed with. What do you think the fallout was of Martin Luther King's behavior, Mr. Tatum? I think that many people think that Martin Luther King did a wonderful thing by forcing desegregation. Now, I'm not here to argue whether or not that was a good thing or not. But what I'm here to say is that was it really what they said it was? Was that really the best approach like they try to claim that it is today? Is Martin Luther King's movement any different than Black Lives Matter movement? Because if you listen, they don't talk about that Martin Luther King pushed Marxism. They don't talk about the fact that Martin Luther King pushed government intervention and government assistance more so than he did self-accountability. Now, people don't talk about the fact that Martin Luther King didn't write that speech. Nobody talks about that part. People don't talk about the part where Martin Luther King, if you listen to any of his other speeches or any of the other things that he did, it was very different. He hung around people who were known Marxists. People who did not believe in what they project that Martin Luther King is saying today. Show me a sermon from Martin Luther King. A lot of what Martin Luther King was an activist. And again, I'm not trying to bash him. I'm really not. I'm trying to give you a different perspective. Because if you look at Jesse Jackson, show me a sermon from Jesse Jackson. Show me a sermon from Reverend Al Sharpton. They don't do sermons. They use the pillars of the black community and influence of having the title Reverend to be an activist in the community to have some respect. And they use that, in my personal opinion, to manipulate into getting the minds of black people to believe them. And I would argue that certain people, and I would argue the white Marxist leftist liberals, I don't even call them liberals, they're mostly leftists, they are finding and using these black people, influencing these black people, giving them platforms to push their agenda. Because, and I'll go on from Martin Luther King. I mean, look at the people who hung around Martin Luther King. And people, you know, I seen the documents and information, and I want to have my guy Chad Jackson on here to give you the full perspective of it because he's a lot more knowledgeable. But I saw the video. I saw the content. Uncle Tom 2 alludes to a little bit of it. But there's an Uncle Tom 3 that I hope that they put out that goes into, and I saw it behind the scenes, that goes into everything about Martin Luther King, everything about the truth and what happened. And I'm telling you guys, as sure as I'm sitting here, Jesse Jackson is going to go down in history as an American hero. And we all know he raced hustling till the sun go down. All these other people, Black Lives Matter. I'm telling you right now, Black Lives Matter is going to go down in history as one of the greatest activist organizations ever that attempted to fight back against racist policing in America and that caused social justice change. And see, us who are still alive today, we're going to get played out like we getting played out with Martin Luther King now. We're going to be like, well, wait a minute. That's not exactly what happened. Remember, Jesse Jackson wasn't standing up for black. What's his name? Benjamin Crump. Attorney Benjamin Crump ain't standing up for black folks. Black Lives Matter didn't do nothing for black people. Black Lives Matter didn't change. Police officers ain't just shooting, gunning down black people just because they feel like it. All that is a lie. And the activism that went along with the lie is illegitimate activism. It is unnecessary activism. Was that what happened with Martin Luther King? See, because if you look at it, You look at Rosa Parks and all these other people. I didn't know this until I did the research. I didn't know black people had their own bus system. So the question is, why are we wasting our time trying to ride at the front of a white man's bus when we should be riding in our own bus and just quit riding their bus altogether? Why don't we make our bus system prolific and therefore we can rely on ours instead of theirs? Now, there are people on record with respect and credentials who came out and made that statement. And these are the people that I'm drawing from. You got to listen to everybody that was alive during that time. You can't just go off of the people that you like. But I think it's invalid to say, I mean, I think it's valuable, invaluable to say and draw the connection with saying, are you doing the research? Are you aware of what happened? Do you have an opinion based on what they tell you versus doing some research on what happened? Are these same people that you see marching with Martin Luther King, these same people that claim that they love black people and they're activists, these same people are using that language today, and we know for a fact that they have no good intentions for black folks. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go home to use it, it's not even absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece for only $39.98 with promo code Tatum. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, code Tatum.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you got it home, it didn't absorb anything? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that actually work. And I know it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Seems like that should be a no-brainer. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's people out here that make towels that just look good, but they don't do good. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors. And right now, you can receive a six-piece towel set for only $39.98 with promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer of the six-piece towel set, go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, enter code Brandon, or call 800-976-8379. That's 800-976-8379. All right, back to Martin Luther King. This is what I want us to consider. Of course, I have my own opinions about Martin Luther King, and I think that I'm starting to really doubt if that was his dream or that was a Marxist, leftist, white liberal's dream. But I see the parallel today. I see the parallel, and it's kind of ironic because after the civil rights movement, it seems like black people begin to do worse, and the trajectory became worse. I mean, even to this day, there is a profitability in victimhood. Profitability in victimhood. I've seen 100 times. I was watching a documentary just the other night on the rapper Lil Baby. I think his name is Lil Baby. Da Baby. No, it's Lil Baby. I said, let me see what Lil Baby, because some of these rappers ain't as bad as they look or they rap about. Sometimes you see them and you're like, oh, man, they got a good story, man. He's got a good heart. I get it. So I'm looking at Lil Baby, and my thoughts are running crazy. And shame and guilt begins to overshadow me. Because of, and when I say overshadow me, shame and guilt for the black community begin to overshadow me. They made a documentary about this rapper, and I think his story is quite unique. But in the documentary, they cry about the white man, and they talk about injustice. Because Lil Baby went to prison for like 2 years. But in the same sentence, they're saying it's injustice in the system and white supremacy. Yet they're bragging about the fact that Lil Baby was a hustler making over millions of dollars selling dope in the community. He was a hustler. He was a drug dealer. He was making millions of dollars selling dope to his own people. You selling the millions of dollars worth of dope? You know what I mean? People have died because of the dope that Lil Baby sold them? In the black community. Not the white folks. In the black community. But then they go on to talk about the white man and social justice. But then they brag about how he was making millions selling dope to his own people. Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. So then, I guess he was becoming prominent in the rap game around George Floyd's time. So they had a whole segment talking about how black men get killed, and we all know that 99% of them are justified uses of force that unfortunately resulted in the death of some of these black people. But they talk about all these black people getting killed and how the system is against it. And then maybe 10 minutes into the video, his best friend, his road dog, was murdered on the freeway. Killed by who? Of the black people. And they had a whole 30 minutes talking about social justice, and they gave that 5 minutes of coverage. And then what their excuse was, oh, this is just the way it is. It's the way the hood is. My mind is blown. I can't believe it. And that's why it jogs my mind that, are we living in the Matrix? How is it that you can make a documentary claiming that and Black Lives Matter and all this, but yet you celebrating a guy who's selling dope to his own people, and his homeboy got killed on a freeway, shot multiple times, pronounced dead at the scene, and that's supposed to be fine and that's life and that's okay, but then the white man is the problem. I can't believe it. You know, I wish that Martin Luther King would have empowered black people to build their own stuff. You don't need to segregate or desegregate the schools at that time. Build your own stuff. Because everybody else is building their own stuff. You go to the Jewish community. Go to the Asian community. Look at the Hispanic community. The Hispanic people ain't trying to beg you to partner with them. They got all it. They got a whole hood. They taking over black communities. Got town center. When I was growing up in Fort Worth, town center used to be all black mall. That mall gone. It's called Fiesta now. They ain't begging you to. They not trying to. It's crazy to me because, and I know I'm rambling, but it's crazy to me because I feel like black people are reaching for are begging for handouts. Not all. But it seems like there's a good number of black people with their hand out begging somebody for something while other people are getting it done. These people from Mexico and South America, they come to America with nothing. They ain't asking for nothing. They not protesting. Mexicans get shot in the head by the police. They ain't protesting nothing. They out there working. They got 5 or 6 people living in one house. I'm not saying all of them. I'm just giving you an example. They got 5 and 6 people living in one, 5 or 6 families living in one house. They working together, helping this person build this, to build this, to build that. Before you know, they got a whole landscaping company. They not out here social justice warrioring. They not out here talking about, oh, my people done wrong. They out here grinding. Now they doing landscaping for everybody in the city. And we still complaining on food stamps, crying about Martin Luther King them. I'm just telling you, Jewish people in a more modern sense were done horribly. The Holocaust. They come over to America. I don't hear Jewish people talking about the Holocaust. I don't hear them complaining about that as much as I hear black people complaining about slavery. And slavery was what it was a long time before the Holocaust. And you look at the Jewish community. You look at the ownership of the Jewish community. Look at the stores. Look at the retail. Look at the movie industry. Look at the media. Jewish people have created a conglomerate effort in order to build wealth for their community. And what we doing? Only movies we put out are movies about black people being slaves. Your boy Will Smith just got a movie out, and he a slave in the movie. We've had so much success as black people after slavery, just getting ready to blow the top off the world. And then here we go again, the civil rights movement, and now look at the conditions we're in. Hold the phone, I'll be back after the break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I want to just preface the conversation we're having about Martin Luther King. Since it's Martin Luther King Day, recognized in our country as a federal holiday. However, I do think that we should be very skeptical, at least in an attempt to do more research about, was what Martin Luther King did and said and his behaviors actually what we think it was? And I compare that as a parallel to Black Lives Matter today. You listen to some people and they think that it was totally legitimate. They think that cops are out here killing black people, and so it was a legitimate. It's all fake. It was a fake, made-up thing where people made a whole bunch of money, and they're going to escape in the night, and nothing was done because it was never nothing in the first place that Black Lives Matter should have been focusing on. Should have been focused in the black community instead of worrying about police officers who having to justifiably shoot criminals, which is sad that they demonize police the way they have. Let me get to a couple callers. 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. You can call in and give commentary on this particular topic. Eric from Sacramento, California. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
How's it going, man?
How's it going? Well, what you got? Good.
Man, couldn't believe I got through, man. Hey, I just so I'm listening to your show. I really enjoy your show. I enjoy the things you say, but something kind of like struck me, man. And I'm not really versed in everything with Martin Luther King. I was trying to think about some of the things you were saying about African Americans, the things that we had, and I'm not sure if that was like before Jim Crow or afterwards. But some of the things that really jumped out to me was like when I heard what you're saying, right? I'm back to the old school of, and I'm a Christian as well. Back to the old school of what a house divided does, right? And I think that as African Americans, like I try not to get political, but I love the fact that I'm like, we need to have better ideas. I think what you're saying, I think what Candace is saying, you guys have so much value to the African American community, and being able to bring heal a lot of things, right? And there's always different opinions because I'm a little bit older, so. When I think about Martin Luther King, it means to me something different than probably your generation, right? And then I start thinking, even on the left, there's some very, like I went to an MLK march today, and I start thinking, like, there's a lot of ideas on the left that I don't agree with, but there's some very beautiful people that have some beautiful ideas about where they want to go, and everybody's idea isn't necessarily nefarious. And so when I see publicly us tearing each other down. That's one of the reasons. That's what made me call. I was like, because as a people, we got to focus on building up, because on every race, we can have an entire show on the negative and the positives of every race, right? But I think that as far as there's so many positive things we can do, because no matter what you feel about, you know, Martin Luther King, Black Lives Matter, there's certain things that we should never do, and that's tear each other down. I think that we can spend a whole bunch of time building up, and I think great ideas on both sides is what's going to cause that. Like, I love what you guys are doing, because I think the black community needs to hear from both sides, because we're not just one single-minded. And I agree with politically a lot of stuff that you say, but when we get publicly on radio, especially like with you and Candace, you guys have a huge listeners. And a lot of those listeners, the percentage of African-Americans is going to be small. So that means that the people that you are speaking of, that are speaking to, who are not African-American, they're seeing the division. They're seeing us tearing each other down, right? And so the people that really need to hear the things that you are saying and you know, they might not listen to you, but I think they're, because I've been showing Uncle Tom to so many of my friends.
Eric, let me jump in here real quick. Let me jump in here real quick. Okay. I appreciate the commentary, and I think what you're saying is true. I just think it's the way I look at it is I'm not tearing down people. I'm tearing down these ideas. And I think that in order for us to actually build and actually come together and uplift, we have to address the elephant in the room. We have to address the woes of society and the things that we're just glossing over. You know, right. when you look at it and you say, you know, why do Americans of African descent vote so heavily Democrat? It's because we're not talking about these issues that I'm bringing up. You know, right. They have created this idea that Martin Luther King has done this, and they jump on his back and use his legacy to push lies to the black community. Why are black people not succeeding in educationally like we should? It's because nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about police brutality. They want to talk about, oh, we need to come together. I get that, but what are we coming together to do? We come together to fight injustice from the white man. We're right. not coming together to build our own communities. And I see that when you look at the NFL. I look at the back of their helmets and it says stop hate or Black Lives Matter, but it doesn't say stop black on black violence. And I feel like that is an important concept to mention instead of pointing at the white police officer all the time. And I got to go to the break real quick, but I got to tell you guys about Relief Factor first. And Eric, just hold the phone. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it works. I'm so glad that I was introduced to Relief Factor, because other than, you know, obviously it being a part of the show, I don't think I would have taken Relief Factor. I didn't think that taking some pills would do anything, to be honest. But then once I took Relief Factor, I said, wow, man, this stuff really works. And I really believe that Relief Factor needs a bigger platform. Relief Factor needs more people to hear about it, more testimony, because there's a lot of people that testify about what Relief Factor has done, but we don't have the, you know, we can't put it all on the radio. But give it a try. Go to relieffactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Obstative Show. Guess what? I will be at the SHOT Show doing my show live on the 17th and 18th. That's tomorrow and Wednesday. I'll be at the SHOT Show physically there. I want to see you. I want to shake your hand, take a picture, whatever the case may be. Say hello. If you're going to be at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, I want to see you there. My show will be live. You better see your boy B. Tatum do this live at the SHOT Show, Las Vegas, Nevada, the 17th and 18th. And after that, I'm going home. Be with my family. But I'll be there the 17th and the 18th. But I want to just go back to the subject at hand. I think that at least I got Eric's point. I want to get some other people in. But, you know, the tearing down. I hear that a lot, and it's I'm trying to perceptualize it, right? I perceptualize it. I kind of see what people are saying, but at the same time, it's like from my position, I'm in a world where I'm seeing black people struggle. I'm seeing black people destroy their own communities, and nobody's even talking about it. It's like it's okay to tout, we got 10 new black millionaires this year. You know, we got black entrepreneurs. Like, I get it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We live in America. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if should I be celebrating the fact that black people are entrepreneurs. That's what you're supposed to do. People come over here with 25 cents in their pocket. They can't even speak English, and they become millionaires in this country. But I do think that what's being promoted is this idea that black men are being hunted by police. So I dive into that issue and I break that lie up. A lot of people come on and we can talk about Martin Luther King till we blew in the face, but how do we vote? You could say Martin Luther King said, I want a dream. I have a dream that, you know, about his kids playing with white kids and us not looking at the color of the skin, but the content of your character. Yet majority of white people are looking at the color of the skin. I think it's like you're talking about Martin Luther King and you ain't even living what Martin Luther King's saying. Can we get the elephant out of the room and call out the BS so we could actually be on the same page? We could actually be on the same page, because this in the middle life it's not working. You talk to black people, by and large, I think a lot, not every black person. I think a lot of black people, you ask, what's the best interest? What is your interest on? What race is the most important to you? And I mean, most black people say black people. But it's like, well, look, you ain't gonna go far if you picking and choosing. And then if the white man say white man is most important to me, then people are mad. People can go out and say black power, black power, black power. If somebody said white power, they'd be mad. We took the word back. N-word don't have no power no more. Let a white person call you N-word, you're mad. Let's get that stuff out of the way so we can begin to move in a more efficient way. Let's talk about the fatherless homes. Let's talk about the food stamp. Let's talk about the Democrats and what they've done to the black community. Let's get that established, because there's no way in the world we're going to be able to work together if my brother look at me and call me an Uncle Tom because I'm a conservative. A man look like me, another black man call me an Uncle Tom bootleg and sellout because I voted for Donald Trump. And I'm telling you guys, the people who think like me, the people who are conservative like me, we are a minority, unfortunately, in the black community. And we are bullied. They attempt to. They can't bully me. We get shunned. Why do you think more black people that are conservative don't talk about it? You will get shunned, bruh. You will get shunned. People don't, they won't invite you to the party no more. You trying to be white. You working with the white man. And so I'm saying this to say, I want to put an alternative perspective out there and get these myths destroyed in front of everybody. And then we can begin to build up on the message, not the individual, but the message. All right, let me bring some more people in. Let me bring in Joyce from Houston, Texas. Joyce, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you. You know, I get so tired of you just repeating me. I get so tired of you just repeating me. I'm listening to you, and it's like I'm listening to myself. And I've been saying today, I said, we clamored for a Martin Luther King holiday. But why we not clamoring for some of the other stuff he taught, like love and unity? Here in Houston, officer, we have to have two Martin Luther King Day parades. Well, I think one at 10 o'clock in the morning. I think the other one might be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I wouldn't attend either one if they paid me to be there. But that's how we're living, and we are so excited. And remember, what this controversy about having a Martin Luther King holiday, the white folks don't want us to have a day. Well, I wasn't excited about having a day. I want us to do other things. I want us to stop killing each other. I want us to stop making our neighborhoods ghettos. This is what I want. I'm not that interested in a holiday when you're not doing anything else to really promote the black community. You know that I've said before, there were fine communities in Houston, Texas. If you come here today, I can take you to their ghettos today, and we are excited about a holiday. And officer, you should have heard. You might can Google and find it. What Bernie, the daughter, said today. She said almost some of the stuff that you said. That they always hollering about the holiday, but 364 days a year they don't do Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact. So I don't care. And you mentioned how we are treated when we think for ourselves. That's true. We are ostracized. They don't want to hear us. And it's so sad. The condition that we are in. And we are all excited today. We have a holiday in our honor. And we are destroying each other.
Joyce,
like you just stated, no one talks about black-on-black crime.
Right, Joyce. Joyce, I got to go to the break, but I want you in Houston, Texas. I want you to come to my event. Blexit is having an event in Houston, Texas on the 11th. So on February the 11th, I want to invite you. We're going to get your contact information on the break. I want you to be there VIP. I want to bring you backstage because I want you to be at our event.
Okay.
All right. I got to go to the break. We'll get that to you, Joyce. I got to go to the break. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a solution or a supplement that works that's 100% drug-free, then Relief Factor is your supplement. And the reason why I kind of threw that out about Joyce, because Joyce, I call Joyce Grandma. She called in, and she is absolutely amazing. So I want her to come to my show. Anyway, let's finish with Relief Factor. I take Relief Factor every single day. My mother-in-law takes Relief Factor every single day. She takes it twice a day. And it really works. It helps your body fight inflammation. And inflammation isn't just through injury or soreness. Sometimes when you are overweight, you got a little extra around the waist, it creates inflammation. And Relief Factor can help you with that. So go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Or call the number 804-RELIEF. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I got food in my teeth. Trying to talk and be on the radio at the same time. I mean, trying to eat and talk on the radio at the same time is a task. I should have ate earlier. All right, I got a couple people calling in. I want to wait to the next segment because I want to make sure that I can thoroughly have a conversation with the people who are calling in. And this segment is probably like a 3-minute segment. So if you want to give commentary on Martin Luther King, just hold the phone. I'm going to go with the person who was waiting the longest, and then we're going to go all the way down. But I love what Joyce said. Joyce is, I think, in her 80s. And Joyce have confirmed that the things I'm saying is not completely crazy. And I think that, you know, like, for instance, next month is Black History Month. And it's crazy because I feel like that's not enough. That's not enough. We don't need a month. Black history is American history. It's not, you know, relegated to a month. And then the interesting part, it's the shortest month of the year. If that's not, I mean, why is it the shortest month? We don't need a month. I don't look at Black history as an isolated month where you need to observe it. We should be observing Black history every time you observe history. You talk about the Civil War, we should be talking about the Black people who fought in the Civil War as well. You talk about innovation. You talk about people who were a part of the, I would say a part of the founding, but the people who had a lot to do with the way our constitutional republic looked today, there was a lot of Black people too. And that's a part of history. We don't need to isolate each group out of history. White people don't have a white history. White people ain't the only people that live here. Native people live here. They call them native. The Indian people live here. Indigenous people, whatever you want to call them. Black people live here. Asian people live here. Indian. The Indian with the, you know, from overseas. You can go down the list. It's a whole bunch of different people live here. Everybody don't get a month. Where's the Asian History Month? Nobody cares. You know, my thing is Asian people ain't worried about that. Don't give me a month. Give me some results. I don't want to jump around talking about Martin Luther King when every Martin Luther King street in America is the hood. Yo, I can't name a Martin Luther King street where it's not dangerous to be on. And don't tell me that because I went to Chicago. I went to MLK, and I was afraid to stop at the red light. Where I grew up in Stop 6, right next to my school, MLK is the hood. It's right in the hood. Dudes getting shot on MLK. Somebody going to get shot in Chicago on MLK as we speak. But anyway, hold the phone. I'll be back after the break to discuss.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Let me get a couple callers in to talk about Martin Luther King. I say that in jest because I think that he probably was a good guy and he had good intentions. But good intentions sometimes lead to a path of destruction in many cases. Let me go with Jennifer from Berkeley, California. Jennifer, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, thank you. I had a question about a quote I heard that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said. He was afraid he led his people to hell. I told my father that, and, you know, he was an adult in the 60s. He doesn't recall ever hearing a quote that kind of showed a reflection that the Reverend was feeling maybe he had led his people to hell. Did you hear that? Did you hear that quote?
I've heard people say it, but I have never heard Martin Luther King actually say that.
Okay. I don't know. I shouldn't go and start rumors. Thank you. I wanted to, you know.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Jennifer, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that I haven't verified it. Now, he may have said that, or somebody may have interpreted that he should have said that. But either way it go, I haven't verified that. That doesn't mean Martin Luther King didn't say that. There's a lot of things that sometimes get floated around as, like, you know, myths of people saying certain things, and actually they don't have any record of saying it. I'll try to do my due diligence to figure out if Martin Luther King actually said something like that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did, because, you know, he may have had good intentions. You know, Martin Luther King may have had good intentions. I know people that think he didn't, which I can't deny the stuff that people have said, because Martin Luther King, he was a Marxist. And today we look at Marxism and we talk real bad about it, but when it comes to Martin Luther King, you can't say nothing about what he said. And it's funny because 99.9% of the people only know the I Have a Dream speech. They don't know nothing else that Martin Luther King was talking about. They don't know what else he stood for. They don't know how he was pushing for government intervention, which is something that is, you know, I don't think it was conducive for black growth and black people's success in this country. I think he would have been a Democrat today. He would have voted just like the rest of the Democrats, just like the other people that were alive during his time that marched with him. Some of those people, not all, are Democrats. And I'll say this. I really do believe that as a black man with knowledge of history, I don't understand how the policies of Democrats would be something that black people would support. I don't understand that as a knowledgeable person. When I was ignorant, yeah, it made total sense that you'd be a Democrat. But when you become knowledgeable and you understand the history and you listen to what these people are saying, there's no way that makes any sense to help black people. When you hear a politician say that black people need reparations, that person, to me, that person can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted. Because you're saying that black people need reparations for one or two reasons. You're either saying it, you don't believe it, you're saying what you think people want to hear you say, or you really don't have a good message for black people and you're saying something that will destroy them inevitably. You don't give people money because you've wronged them. That's not a solution to the problem. In what ways were black people wronged? It wasn't just monetary. If you believe that black people were wronged because they didn't have an education, then how about you help provide, especially in a government system, right? Since it's the government, how about the government put the money into the education system? Money is not going to fix you if you're dumb. Money can't fix you if you're uneducated. You will manipulate, use money, and become broker if you don't know how to manage money. And you would be a bad parent if you just gave your kid $20,000 and didn't even try to help him manage the money, give him feedback, guidance. What do you do with this money to be successful? If you said, I'm a good dad, I gave my son $20,000. He don't know how to manage money. He blow all his money. He start using drugs or doing whatever with it. What do you think about it? What do you think the people in the hood going to do with $20,000? You think they're going to say, you know what? They didn't gave me $20,000 reparations. I'm going to put these drugs down. What was I thinking? No, boy, you're going to score more drugs with that $20,000. You finna do it big now. You got 20 stacks to buy some drugs with. You finna flip that $20,000, make it $200,000. Illegally. And I would say even people who don't use drugs or that are in the black community is that you can go buy a Gucci bag. There's a percentage of black men, black women that are going to do well with reparation money. I think it's a small percent. I would say 15% of black people will do well with reparation money. the rest of the population would either spend it in the wrong way or destroy their life with the money. I do not believe that giving black people money in America today is the best solution. There are foundational things that need to be done that's worth more than money. Money can't buy your baby daddy back. Money can't buy the fact that you got kids by four dudes and you don't even know who two of them are. I mean, you don't even know if, you know, the daddy of two of your kids. Money ain't going to change that. When you wake up in the morning and you feel like I'm going to get killed by a police officer just because I'm black, money ain't going to change that. When you wake up in the morning, you say, why would I try to go to school and get an education? I'm never going to be a good at white people. The white man will always hold me down. Money ain't going to fix that in your mind. You go to school and you don't get an education and you in there playing around in class. You laughing at the teacher cheating on your test. That's what I was doing. In there messing around in school. You're not taking your education serious. Money ain't going to fix that. You walking around with your pants sagging. You walking around voting for Democrats. Money is not going to fix that. Reparations ain't going to do nothing but make rich people richer. That's why you can't trust a person telling you that black people should get monetary reparations. Affirmative action is a form of reparations that we've already been experiencing. Rich going to get richer because black people by and large are consumers. You ain't finna somehow be business savvy because you got $20,000, $100,000, $300,000 in your bank account. People are going to start taking advantage of you. $300,000, you give up money to the average black person. And the reason I can talk about black people like this because I've been black my whole life. And I grew up around nothing but black people. So I know how people move. And I see people even in my life now. Everywhere I go, every city I go to, run into certain people, you're like, it's like three kind of black people in the world. And a small majority, a small minority of black people are out here making a tremendous difference. And a lot of them are not. And I think a small portion of them are doing wrong in this country. But in the middle, it's like stagnation in the middle. Give somebody $300,000. Half of your money gonna go to taxes. If they giving you the money, if they giving you $300,000 tax free, you're gonna go out and you're gonna consume, buy a brand new car, buy a Rolex. You know, all of these things, and these rich people are just the government is just giving the money to give the money out to other corporations. The dollar don't stay in the black community, nothing but. I think it was like a 6 seconds. The dollar stay in the black community for like 6 seconds. That money is coming and gone. And with those statistical data points, why would you accept monetary reparations? Okay. All right, let me get to some other callers. Tom from California, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Tom, welcome to the show. I think Tom's phone may be messed up. Tom.
1, 2, 3 strikes you out.
He may have fell asleep behind the wheel. David from San Antonio, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Yes, I have an opinion and two simple questions to ask. I'm a Marine. Sir. Once a Marine, always a Marine. One, Dr. King's life proves just as many saints have a past, every sinner can be a saint. My first question is this. Why support Democrats who say, if you don't vote for us, you're not black, spend billions on illegal jobs on the line, but not one penny logistically support black communities to rise from the downward spiral of auto genocide?
Great questions. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
And you ain't black.
Seek, and ye shall find.
God's Got Your Six, The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. Have you ever went to the store and got a bad towel, whether you ordered it or had got it from the store or not? Have you ever had a towel and it didn't dry a single thing? And you thought to yourself, what in the world were they thinking when they made a towel that's not absorbent at all? It's literally pushing water around on my arm. I'm better off just standing out of the shower and just air drying versus using this sorry towel. But let me tell you what, you never have to experience that again. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and get their six-piece towel set. Two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths for $39.98. What? With my code Brandon. If you don't put the code Brandon in there, you're going to pay a whole bunch more money for the six-piece towel set. But with the code Brandon, you get it for $39.98. And remember, MyPillow products have a 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. So if it don't do what I tell you to do, send it back and tell them what you think about it. But I'm pretty sure it will, because we have the towels and we use them every single day, and they work great for us. MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number 800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. All right, let me get back to the subject at hand. I want to talk a little bit about Joe Biden and them. And that classified information is crazy as to how these things are developing. You know, I really believe that Joe Biden, they're trying to force Joe Biden out of office. I honestly believe that. And they're going to push Kamala Harris in as the president of the United States of America. I think they already have this planned, because now, we all know Joe Biden's brain is taking a fart every other time he talks. But one of the biggest measurements here is that Joe Biden has mentioned Kamala Harris as President Harris at least three times that I can recall on national television. It's like the Freudian slip. They already know what's about to happen. Now, let me tell you this. If she becomes the president, there should be no doubt in your mind that they had already planned this. This man has had classified information in his house and in his public library and private library since he was the vice president of the United States of America. That was under your boy Barack Insane Obama. And now somebody's found classified information in his house? Well, how did they find it? Who's going to your personal residence in your garage and finding classified information? Who found the stuff? Why did y'all find it before the midterms but didn't say nothing? Joe Biden could have gotten rid of the stuff just like Hillary did. She deleted all of her files and beat them with hammers and all kind of other stuff. Joe Biden could have did the same thing. So it makes me feel like, what is going on here? And will he be held accountable? There is no legitimate justification for Joe Biden. There's no excuse for Joe Biden to have classified information at his private residence in a garage with a garage door opener. There's no legitimacy. He cannot declassify information like the president can. He don't have an excuse. Same thing that Hillary didn't have an excuse. And Hillary wasn't even as bad as Joe Biden, because Hillary was actively in the government with that, dealing with that information. Joe Biden has been out of the government since he was the vice president. He's the president now, but this information was way back then. What was he doing with this information when he wasn't the president? Now, according to reports that I've read, China, I think they quadrupled their donations to University of Pennsylvania after they had the Biden Penn Center created. That's not a coincidence. They gave tens of millions of dollars. And they expect us to believe it was mere coincidence. And we got his drug using son talking about 10% need to go to the big man. We all know who the big man is. The guy that was doing dirt with Joe Biden, Babadopoulos or something his name is, what it's called? I forget his name. Bobanowski, something like that. The guy that was doing, what was it? Bobolinsky. There you go. Bobolinsky. I think it was Bobolinsky. The guy that was pretty much doing dirt with him, meaning he was a part of some of these deals, had said the big man was Joe Biden. So when Hunter's sent an email saying 10% need to go to the big man, that's him saying that 10% of this financial deal that we're doing needs to go to the vice president of the United States of America, who brokered the deal based on the leverage of his position and authority. I think they're going to bring him down. Special counsel, they're going to bring him down. And Kamala Harris is going to be the first black female president in history. And she's going to be unstoppable. Now, she's dumber than a bag of rocks. But where are the jabs coming from? Are you going to really criticize a woman? Are you going to really criticize a black woman? And I wouldn't be surprised if she don't leave her white man to be with another woman. Then she'll have 5 or 6 victim checkboxes. You can't talk about a gay black woman. If you do that, you're going to hell in the liberal Bible. But I wonder what their strategy is. And for me, I'm compelled to believe that it has to be something related to that. It's sickening to me. Because if you or I were to do something like that, we're going to jail. And nobody's going to feel sorry for you. You're going to go to jail. Now, let me flip the script back to the community conversation I was having about MLK. I think MLK was a good guy. But I want to hear from more people who were alive during MLK's time. What was the real truth at what happened? What was really going on? Just like Barack Obama, he's the first black president. I was hearing some stuff today where I'm like, he was named after his stepfather, Barry Santal or something like that. Or Santana. I got to look at my phone. I got it in there. Santali or something like that. And I thought about it, and there's pictures of Bush with Obama when he was a little kid and the involvement with his stepfather. And, you know, it's crazy to me that Obama's brother literally comes out against him all the time. I think it's Malik Obama. Not Malik. I don't be knowing none of these people's names, but all you got to do is Google Obama's brother. He got a social media platform. He followed me on social media, too. And he didn't do nothing but bashing his brother. And it is interesting to me that that man was untouchable. Are we living in the Matrix? Is the question. Are we living in the Matrix? Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Legacy of Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, Dana, the first thing I'd say to our listeners today and our viewers today is to be very proud of your country. Be even more proud of the progress that your country has made in the last 50 years. Think about the dream and the speech itself. He said, all of God's children will one day join hands and sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty. We are living that part of the dream. Black people and white people today are joining hands and living the American dream. That is a blessing from God upon high. It is something that should encourage us to move into the future with hope and optimism and a resolve to continue to make progress on the dream. Here's what we need to be doing today. We should be talking about opportunity and not equity. We should be focusing our attention on the quality of the education in the poorest zip codes in this country, because education is the civil rights issue of our era. In 2023, it's not the color of your skin. It's how well you are educated. That will make the difference in your life.
145,000%. Tim Scott, I mean, that's one thing that I like about Tim Scott, and I agree with him. And I hope that people are listening to what he said and not just looking at me like I'm crazy and I'm a three-headed monster. Education is very important. If you are not educated on multiple aspects, you won't be successful. If you're not educated in finances, you will not be financially successful. If you're not educated in owning a business, leadership, you won't be able to lead anybody. And you won't be able to start a business. It sounds cute to be an entrepreneur, but if you're not educated, and education just don't mean simply going to school and getting a piece of paper in your hand. Education is involved in multiple facets of learning and developing your mind. And I love to hear Tim Scott talk like that, because he's a man that's very intelligent and he understands the value of education. And the funny thing is that all of these people who talk and who run their mouth about XYZ, they talk about social justice and equality. It's like, why don't they talk about things that really matter? I don't need equal representation. I just need you not to thwart my ability to succeed. I don't need you to force me into a particular situation, force me into a college, university I'm not qualified for. Just don't be in my way. Let me go to the school of my choice. Let me have school choice. I'm not forced into a public school where I'm just destroying my education or not getting education at all, destroying me as a person. I could say these things till I'm pink in the face. Let me get a couple callers in, then we're going to move on. Let me go with Betsy from Forest Hill, Texas. Betsy, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Officer Tatum, I have a serious question for you, and I need to know if you know what I'm talking about. I was on Twitter, and they were talking about the Convention of States. I had never heard of them. You know about them. Okay, what is your opinion of them? I don't know whether to get involved with these people or not.
Well, see, the Convention of States, I believe, is a legitimate thing. Now, the people who are claiming to be representing the Conventions of States or trying to come together or bring together votes to awareness, votes for awareness on the Convention of States, I don't know what they are. But I've heard a lot about the Convention of States and how if we as a people, we want term limits, we want, you know, different amendments to the Constitution, that there's like 37 states have to come together, and it's considered to be the Convention of States, and we can actually get things changed within the rules of the founding of our country. So I don't know. I think it's a good thing to look into, I'm not sure about the characters who are behind it. I'm not sure if they are legitimate or are they just trying to steal get money from you.
Yeah. I just need to know if I should get involved with them or not, but I appreciate your input.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Betsy. God bless you. And I want y'all to know that I'll be at the SHOT Show tomorrow, Tuesday, which is the 17th and the 18th. I'll be doing my show live from the SHOT Show, Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to see you there. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. America has always been the world leader in innovation, inventions, and technology. Now, China is poised to take its place as the next world leader in technology. Don't miss this shocking new movie, Innovation Race, available now at salemnow.com. It exposes the truth, how China is exploiting weaknesses in our U.S. patent system, still in our inventions and technology, and we are helping them do it. China could soon control 5G technology, which will eventually control all of our devices. With the flip of a switch, the Chinese Communist Party can turn our power grid off, remote drive our cars off of a cliff, or turn off your pacemaker. Innovation Race, Clarion Call to Action. Watch it today at Salem Now. That's salemnow.com. Unless we take a stand, China will become the next world leader, threatening our economy, our economic and military security, and the very idea of American greatness. In today's high-tech world, there is no prize for second place. See it for yourself. Watch Innovation Race now on demand or buy the DVD at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. salemnow.com. There was a story that I was looking up earlier. I don't know if it kind of speaks to the same issue that I've been talking about, but the kid, the basketball player from Alabama that ended up shooting and killing somebody, it's heartbreaking to me. This young man, Darius Miles, and another man was charged with capital murder. Now, in Alabama, capital murder can consist of if you and another person or you shoot into a vehicle and kill somebody. It's kind of like an aggregate or aggravated charge. So just murdering somebody, you shoot somebody in the street, that's a particular thing. Or if you go out and you shoot in a moving vehicle, that will be considered capital murder. Now, this young man has played football for Alabama, basketball for Alabama basketball team. He was a backup. He had sustained an injury, and so it was reported that he was out for the season before this happened. And this young man, with so much promise, and could, and in my personal opinion, could eventually been a starter, and who knows, could have played in the NBA and made something of himself, going to a university with a scholarship. I'm pretty sure he was on full scholarship. Why is he riding around with another fool with tattoos all over his neck shooting in the car of another person? They end up fatally shooting a young lady and killing her right near the campus. And this story just bothers me because it's completely avoidable and unnecessary. And this is one of those, I could have been this guy. I could have been this kid. This is one of those scenarios and stories where this is why having a strong father in your life is important, and understanding that sometimes you got to leave the garbage behind. I can almost guarantee you that kid, Darius Miles, was probably not a bad kid. Caught up hanging around with people that have nothing to lose. Michael Davis was the other guy with him. Probably got everything to lose. The boy literally got tattoos all on the front of his neck. You know you're not getting a job. And they riding around, getting into an altercation with somebody, end up firing rounds into a vehicle, killing another young lady. Now, I haven't seen a picture of the female victim, but if I had to roll the dice, I'm pretty sure she was black. Now, will this make headlines? Will this become prominent news? Will somebody somewhere put a t-shirt on and say, please, can we please stop killing each other? No, nobody cares. If a white cop did it, this would be, they'll be protesting in the middle of the street. You wouldn't even hear about Martin Luther King Day because Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton them will be flying out there to Alabama to make a fuss about it. But if you were to kill another black man, it's not going to matter. Let me read a little bit about of the story from the news report. It said about a dozen shots were fired during the fatal shooting of a woman feet from the Tuscaloosa strip. It says the shots rang out on Gray Street, about 200 feet from the University Boulevard, earlier on Sunday morning. Jamia Harris was driving to the Walk of Champions outside of Bryant Denny Stadium, about a third of a mile away, seeking help. A police officer parked there found Harris dead inside a vehicle. So she, after she got shot up, she was driving. It seems like she was driving and looking for help, and then she ended up being found by a police officer that shows that she was dead. A doorbell camera within 100 yards of the shooting captured the gunfire and two students fleeing the violence. And then here's a quote. It says, "It's shocking, it's sad, especially who it was. The innocent person who got shot, but I think that the criminal justice system would do its work and do the right thing." It's what a nearby resident said. Ultimately, Darius Miles and Michael Davis were charged with capital murder. The police officers, or at least the attorney of the two boys, I believe, they said maintain his innocence and looking forward to his day in court. Of course, he has to say that. The kid Darius Miles was literally erased from Alabama's website, their roster, his photo taken down. I mean, they literally erased this kid and his association with the basketball team. Now, I probably can add this. I'm pretty sure this wasn't his first time getting in trouble, which is why they were so swift to act. But hanging with the wrong people will get you caught up. Young man on the video crying like a baby, because you probably going to do some real time. And let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think there's anybody that's listening to me on the radio right now that's thinking about doing something as stupid as Darius did. But if you think you're going to just be rolling with somebody and they go commit a crime and you think that you're going to get a pass because you didn't pull the trigger, there is something called felony murder. If you were an accomplice in the commission of a murder, whether you pulled the trigger or not, you're going to prison with the same charge as the person who actually pulled the trigger. Keep that in your mind before you hang with the wrong people. Let me tell you guys about Relief Factor before I go to the break. Relief Factor is your solution to aches and pains. Relief Factor is engineered to help fight off inflammation. And inflammation is just caused when there's trauma to the body per se, working out, overexertion, things like that. But sometimes if you're carrying around extra body fat, you got a little bit of stuff going on the waistband, that can create inflammation in your body. And Relief Factor can help fight that inflammation. So all you got to do is go to relieffactor.com, get started with a 3-week quick starter. Get it, take it, watch it work, order more. That's what I did. So go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call the number 800-4-RELIEF. I want you to feel the difference like I do with Relief Factor.
Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you heard earlier, I think it was earlier today or yesterday, when Joe Biden completely missed the entire name of one of the King family members. I think her name was Jeanette or something. I got to look it up. And he literally said something that sounded nothing like this girl's name. And I don't know if that's because he's dumb or because he's senile or I can't explain. He's the president of the United. Like, where are the standards of the president of the United States should be one of the greatest, most effective representations of the country itself? A person whose cognitive functions are operating properly, somebody who's a leader, somebody who's bold, somebody who's articulate. Like, I mean, God dang, bro, you should have, you're the number one in the United States of America. They couldn't find somebody that can remember somebody's name that's standing right in front of them. Bro, if you didn't remember a name, you should say, hey, what's your wife's name? Her name is Jeanette. Okay. I think her name was something like Jocelyn or something. I got to look it up. But he literally talking to the person, decide to sing happy birthday to her. She's invited to the event, and he doesn't even like mumble her name. He said a whole nother, I don't even know if he's speaking English. He said something crazy. I don't know if we have that clip. Do we have that clip? We're going to get that clip for you as soon as Nick send the clip over like he's supposed to. I think he's probably trying to do it now. But we'll play that clip for you in the next segment. But, I mean, he literally said he was speaking another language. I think we have it now. Let's play that clip of Joe Biden singing happy birthday to one of the kings, wrote a clip.
But congratulations today to the honorees, including your wife, who I understand is a birthday today. Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, you sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you. Well, it's hell turning 30,
hold
but
on,
you
y'all.
Gotta...
Hold on. He said, dear Velvet. What in the is Velvet? Let me find this woman's name on here. It's like Jeanette or something. I can't find the article. But it ain't Velvet. It's got to be on here. I just pulled a clip up right here, but I can't find it. Velvet. Let me find her name. I'm going to lose my mind if I don't find her name. They probably gone on from the story because it was only Republicans that pissed about it. When I come back from the break, I'm going to let you know what her name is. But I'm just telling you right now, it ain't Velvet. I'll be back after the break.
Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. As promised, I tell you I was going to get the name of the, it was actually Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter-in-law, so I guess his son's wife. Her name, and I don't know why people be spelling it. I don't know if it's just, maybe it's a culture thing, but her name is Andrea. So it's Andrea, A-R-N-D-R-E-A, D-R-E-A, so Andrea. So I guess you got to put an R in there, Andrea. It can't be Andrea's, Andrea. Okay, so anyway, he gets on there and he says, he calls her, I don't know what he called her, something that wasn't Andrea. Let me play the clip again for those who just now joined. Let's roll that clip of him singing happy birthday to God knows who, because it wasn't Andrea. Wrote a clip.
But congratulations today to the honorees, including your wife, who I understand is a birthday today. Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, you sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you.
Is that her nickname or something? That fool said Velvet or something. Velvet. Valsdiv. What did he say? It wasn't Andrea. So anyway. But this man is supposed to be running the United States of America. And I'm not trying to be petty, but this is definitely a mental decline that's going on. His brain is not functioning properly. You can look at him and tell he's nuts, or his brain is in a sea of forgetfulness. But it's totally fine. We're supposed to suck it up and just believe all this to make sense. I was listening to Jesse Waters in the break. He had a clip that I think was brilliant, but I hadn't sent it to anybody, so I can't play it on the radio for you. But he had made mention that none of this that Joe Biden is doing is adding up. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, how is it that you decide to close down, quote unquote, he's closing down the Biden Penn Center right before Republicans take over in the House of Representatives, and his lawyers were going to, I guess, pursue closing the Biden Penn Center. And while they were there, they decided to pick up classified documents. And they don't call him and tell him, hey, look, bruh, we got classified documents here. They call the archive. And then they supposedly, the lawyers don't tell Biden what's in the documents. They your lawyers, bro. My lawyer, I pay you to be my lawyer. You're going to tell me what I need to know, so I can have the best defense I can. You work for me. There's attorney-client privilege. That's a thing. But somehow they want you to believe that Joe Biden's lawyers said, screw you, Joe. Thank you for your money, but we're going to do whatever we want to do with these documents. Matter of fact, we didn't even tell you what we got on you. We're just going to let you have to defend yourself and then use us to help you. It absolutely makes no sense. We shall see what end up happening from this kerfuffle. In other news, the beauty pageant, what would it be? The Miss Universe or something like that. It's not Miss America, it's Miss Universe. And an American woman won. But do you know who has purchased and now own Miss Universe? Do you know who owns Miss Universe? Let me let you hear who owns Miss Universe. Do we have that clip? Let me let you hear who owns Miss Universe, and then we'll have a conversation about it. Roll a clip.
It has been 70 years that Miss Universe organization ran by men. But now, time is up. Is the moment really for women to take the lead? Welcome to the new era of the global women's empowerment platform. Welcome to the Miss Universe organization. From now on, it's gonna be ran by women, owned by trans women, for all women.
All right.
For all women, really.
Rimmin. I don't know what rimmin you talking about, but you a fake rimmin. You a man. If you listen to the voice, it's a man that's a trans person. Now, I told y'all, the slippery slope is getting slipperier and slipperier. You have the beauty pageant, Miss Universe beauty pageant, from what the dude said, that's now a girl. For 75 years, men have been owning the beauty pageant, which has been given opportunities for women all around the country, but we'll leave it out of that. Now it's run by a man who think he a woman. Make it make sense to me. It's not won by men, it's run by women, according to the new owner of the beauty pageant. What they call it, I always forget the name. I got Joe Biden brain today. I talk about him enough. Miss Universe. I even want to say Miss Texas. My little sister was in the beauty pageant. She won Miss Texas twice in a row. So she was really good at that. But Miss Universe is run by Riemann. And now it's a man who think he a woman is now running it and saying that this is women empowerment. But people are cheering for it, and it makes total sense to them. You know, it's more to being a woman than to just look like a woman. Now, mind you, this dude can actually pass as a woman. Mr. Riemann himself looks like a woman. But here's the part that it gets dicey on, in my opinion, is that I think that as a people, as a humanity, or as a human race, we should be fairer to women than we are to people who are hallucinating and believing that they're women. It's more to being a woman than just wearing a wig and putting a miniskirt on. That doesn't make you a woman. Just like wearing basketball shorts and a tank top don't make you a man. There's biological differences between men and women. But the cheapening of being a woman, in my personal opinion, will be the downfall of our society. We're not going to know what's what. And there, in the financial world, there's probably no direct advantage for a man who turned into a woman. But in the sports world, there's incredible advantages. And it's ridiculous, and it's a slippery slope. And I'm totally okay with people transitioning and doing that. But just do you, but have a balanced, fair perspective that at the end of the day, you may not fit into society. Everybody's not going to acquiesce to your mental disability. That's like a person having a disability where their legs have been amputated. Well, you can't argue that every single place in the United States of America have to be accessible to you. Now, they've tried to make rules to make things a little more handicapped accessible, but they probably don't make a Ferrari that's handicap accessible. And you can't get mad at Ferrari and say they're discriminating against you because they don't make that one vehicle to fit a person in a wheelchair without you completely getting specced out. And the same thing with a person that's dealing with mental illness, and there's a man that believes he's a woman. Everybody's not going to accept that. There's no room for your confusion in sports. And in my opinion, there's no room for your confusion in women empowerment. And this is the telltale sign how you know and I know that it's all bull shenanigans. It's that if you can be transgender, why can't you be transracial? Why can't you be? It's more realistic for you to be transracial because race is literally a social construct. But it's reasonable for you to be transracial than reasonable for you to, or it's more reasonable to be transracial than it is for you to be transgender. Because you're still a man, you just dress like a woman. Anyway, hold the phone. We'll talk about it more after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got to tell you about the MyPillow towels that I think are extraordinary. Many times you buy towels that don't even work. You buy them, they don't absorb, they don't feel good. You wash them, they're never the same. But the MyPillow towel set is I think one of the best that you're going to find on the market. If you go to MyPillow.com, you put in discount code Brandon, you'll get a tremendous discount on that particular item or the set of items. It's a 6-piece towel set. You'll get a discount on that. So go to MyPillow.com, go to the Radio Listener Specials page, and click on the MyPillow towels. MyPillow.com, discount code Brandon. All right, I got a special guest coming on, Alfredo Ortiz, who's the CEO of the Job Creators Network. I met him in person at an event here in Phoenix. What an incredible man. I think what they're doing at Job Creators Network is absolutely amazing. Welcome to the show, Alfredo.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so much, and Happy New Year. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, you know, I want to say congratulations on the release of your new book, The Real Race Revolutionaries, How Minority Entrepreneurship Can Overcome Racial and Economic Divides. I want to ask you about your book. What is the message that you want to get across in this particular book?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Brandon. We're actually, by the way, really excited because just over the weekend, we hit the number one new release in our category on Amazon. So we must be saying something that's intriguing. So we're super excited. But you know, Brandon, this book actually grows out of testimony that I actually offered before the full House Ways and Means Committee last year in the spring, and it was a hearing on minority entrepreneurship, and I was the sole witness for the Republican side. And you know, the Democrat members and their witnesses argued for more big government policies to overcome, you know, supposed structural racism holding minorities back. But I countered that reducing the hurdles to entrepreneurship, you know, but by having the government do less, which is really the key here, doing less, not more, is the best way to really overcome and empower minorities to improve their economic outcomes.
That is absolutely amazing. And you know, where did you get the idea from this book? Is it just your personal experience, or is it because you saw a need? What was the inspiration behind the book?
Yeah, well, like I said, it was actually frustration after that, after the hearing. It just kind of gnawed on me and kept gnawing on me that, you know, the narrative that the left was giving was just completely untrue. I mean, is there racism in this country? Absolutely. I know it to be true. You know it to be true. I've been a victim of it. I'm sure, you know, you've had some challenges yourself. I mean, we know that it exists. But, you know, what I refuse to believe is that we're only victims, and that the only answer to it is through more government intervention. I've owned, you know, several businesses myself. I know you have as well. And you know that entrepreneurialism really kind of sets us free from this government, stranglehold that they want to have done on us. And, you know, which is, by the way, why they hate entrepreneurs and why they hate small business, because they can't control them. They can't corral them, right? And so it's very, very frustrating. So for me, it was really that frustration that was kind of pent up over months. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to write a book on this and kind of push that narrative forward and challenge these guys.
I think that's amazing. You know, I as an entrepreneur, I think that you get an opportunity to live the American dream, because the American dream is you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and becoming the best version of yourself is pretty much what that is. And sometimes working necessarily for in a system that some people would reject and claim that has all these issues, that you go outside of the system and you become what you, you know, have passion to become. I think that kind of thwarts the idea that the system can hold you back. You know, I have a question for you, is that, you know, how can we as people help close the racial economic divide through entrepreneurship? Like, how does that entrepreneurship work to actually be activated in helping us close that divide?
Yeah, well, that's really a great question. I mean, we actually saw the wonderful model of entrepreneurship and capitalism really flourish right after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed, back in 2017. And what we saw after that was just amazing. If you look at 2019, for example, real median income rose by 8% for Black households, more than 7% for Hispanics, 11% for Asian Americans, and actually 6% for white. So, I mean, overall, and now we're look where we are, right? I mean, it's actually negative. Negative wage growth. I mean, so and median households aren't growing overall. So what we need to do, I think, as a community of small business owners, and by the way, there's 30 million of us, right? 30 million small business owners out there that employ about 60 million people in this country. So 90 million people are dependent on success of small business. And so what makes it successful is really simple. It's two things: lower taxes, right, and less regulation. So what we need to do is we need to make sure to push for that. And coming up, by the way, at the end of 2025 is the expiration of those small business tax benefits that were so helpful, in the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And so we as a community need to make sure that we push for this Congress to make those cuts permanent and the regulation reductions.
I think that's an incredible thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Alfredo Ortiz, the CEO of Job Creators Network. I think it's amazing that you wrote this book. I definitely want to copy the book so I can read it, because as being an entrepreneur, I think I always love to hear messages of entrepreneurship and how to grow and become better. So I think that's absolutely amazing that you have this book. Where can people find your book, Alfredo?
Well, thank you. It's on Amazon, both on Kindle and paperback. It's a great quick read. I think people will find it, some great facts in there. I just want to throw one fact out there, which I think will whet some people's appetite. You know, we found that a Congressional Black Caucus Foundation study found that the median net worth for Black business owners is 12 times higher than for Black non-business owners. So I make that point to say, if you want to actually change the lives of minorities, get out of the way, government, right? We don't need you. We don't need more government. We need less of you, and we need lower taxes, less regulation. It's really simple, actually.
1,000%. You couldn't have said it any better. Alfredo Ortiz, CEO of Job Creators Network, thank you so much for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to go and get the book. Get it today.
Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. Have a good evening.
All right. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is Real Race Revolutionaries, How Minority Entrepreneurship Can Overcome Racial and Economic Divide. Go to realracerevolutionaries.com. Buy the book, get more information. That's realracerevolutionaries.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, I got a question for you. Will you be at the SHOT Show this year? I think it's already starting today. Will you be there on the 17th and the 18th? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Will you be at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas on the 17th and 18th? And if your answer is yes, I want you to come see me. I'm doing my radio show live from the SHOT Show this year, where you could find all of the most innovative Second Amendment patriotic stuff that you can think of. All of my favorite gun places and safe places, my Voltec safe that I got on my wall that you can put your finger on it and it opens up. Voltec gonna be there. Everybody gonna be there. But I'm gonna be doing my show live, so I want you to come say hello to me. If you're gonna be at the SHOT Show, I'd love to speak to you. I'm gonna bring probably a couple of these hats that I just made that says The Officer Tatum Show on it. I may give out a couple, sign a few. But I want to see you there. I'll be at the SHOT Show 17th and 18th doing my show live. SHOT Show, Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's get it. All right. Moving on up. All right. We got more stuff to talk about. I mean, I can talk for until I'm green in the face about all the stuff that's going on. LAPD is getting ripped for them, or the police chief, banning the thin blue line flag. Like, I'm going to try to say this without cussing, because I'm supposed to be a Christian. I don't understand how we as a nation falls for this crap. When is enough enough? I was a police officer since 2011. I have never heard of the thin blue line being associated with racism. When we would write the thin blue line or put the black tape or thin blue line tape over our badge is when we honored a fallen police officer. What in the F does that have to do with racism? Police officers aren't just white people. Especially out in California, LA, half of them are black and Hispanic. But you, listen, Los Angeles Police Department is being accused of political pandering, which is true, after it banned the use of the thin blue line flag for public areas inside police department. According to the LA chief, Michael Moore, the decision was made after a community complaint that complained the flag symbolizes support for violence, extremist views, such as those represented by Proud Boys and others. But I bet they'll let Black Lives Matter be up in there. And show me somebody that's a blue that represent the blue line that's doing something extreme. And I'll show you a whole city burned down by Black Lives Matter. This man is it start with a B. And I'm not going to say that. I get kicked off the radio. Y'all know what I'm going to say. This man is a weenie. Soft. Ain't made for this game. Somebody come in there and say, you got to remove all this stuff because I think it ain't about what you think. Let me educate you. The thin blue line is for police officers to honor the brothers and sisters who wear that uniform that died in the line of duty. And in LA, they've had a few of them murdered. Young officers with promising futures. Murdered, white and black. And you let a citizen come and tell you something like that. Get your sorry, ashy butt and take that badge off, take your uniform off, and go sit down somewhere. You ain't built to serve. If you want to go and pander to people on the left crying about the thin blue line, what's next? They want you to put your, they want your officers to take their guns out and leave them at home because it makes them feel scared? Come on, police chief. You got enough. I can't say what I want to say. You should have enough fortitude to say, I'm not pandering to everything y'all doing. I'm not finna do that to my police officers because, look, there's a level of respect that goes on the police department. Can we have something? And I bet it was a black person or a blue-haired liberal out here just saying stuff that's unfounded. It's unfounded. But he did it anyway. And I guess instead it says the U.S. flag and memorials for fallen officers are authorized. It's crazy to me. It says he told Fox News Digital that the flag represents honor, valor, dedication, and sacrifice of law enforcement to protect our community. Let me. I got to cut the story short. I got to tell you about Save the Storks. And let me just tell you this. I want to give you an opportunity to hear about an organization that I think is absolutely invaluable in a time such as this, and that is Save the Storks organization, nonprofit organization that literally are dedicated to help young women hear the truth. Because in today's world, Planned Parenthood and everybody else throwing all kind of money into making young ladies have abortions, and Save the Storks is giving them an opportunity to do something different. And the Stork bus, which is game changing. It's literally a bus that they can pull up in front of Planned Parenthood or wherever they want to pull it, and women can see that they have other options and other choices. So I want you to support Save the Storks. Become a monthly partner for $35 a month. Please take this opportunity to be about what we be talking about.
Don't ever be.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, I am back. America has always been the world leader in inventions, innovation, and technology. Now China is poised to take its place as the next world leader in technology. Don't miss the shocking new movie, Innovation Race, available now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. It exposes the truth, how China is exploiting weaknesses in our U.S. patent system, stealing our inventions and technology, and we are helping them do it. Surprise, surprise. Thank you, Joe Biden. China could soon control 5G technology, which will eventually control all of our devices. With the flip of a switch, the Chinese Communist Party could turn off our power grids, remotely drive your car off of a road, or turn off your pacemaker. Innovation Race is a clarion call to action. Watch it today at Salem Now, salemnow.com. Unless we're willing to stand, China will become the next world leader, threatening our economic and military security and the very idea of American greatness. In today's high-tech world, there is no prize for second place. See it for yourself. Watch Innovation Race now on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. Let me get back to this statement. The chief told Fox News Digital that the flag represents honor, valor, dedication, and sacrifice of law enforcement to protect our community. He said it was unfortunate that extremist groups have hijacked the use of the thin blue line flag to symbolize their undemocratic, racist, and bigot views. You sorry chump. I'm saying it. I hope you're listening. You a chump in my eyes. And I'm going to read to you what a person from LAPD made mention of his statement. Said it's difficult to express the level of utter disgust and disappointment with Chief Moore's political pandering directed to remove the thin blue line flag and memorial for fallen officers from all public areas within our police station. The board of directors for the Los Angeles Police Protective League said in a statement, this direction came as a result of complaints from anti-police criminal apologists and activists who hold too much sway over our city leaders and, unfortunately, our chief. The flag can still be displayed in personal workspaces, vehicles, or locker doors, Moore said. You a coward, Moore. You ain't a chief. Turn your badge in. I don't care what nobody tell you. You got to stand up at some point. You can't be on your knees and serve. You can't be on your knees serving. Stand up like a man and say it doesn't matter if a activist group hijack whatever they want to think they hijack. Let me educate you on what the thin blue line means, and that's what it represents to us. Just because a person goes crazy, take an AR-15 and shoot up somewhere, don't mean that we got to ban all AR-15s. Because that fool want to misuse the AR-15 ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all, just like y'all out here talking about Black Lives Matter. Y'all Negroes out here killing each other every day. Some of y'all, same thing with Hispanics. Same thing with white folks. Y'all out here being stupid half of the time and we saving y'all's lives. And should we not let you drive a car because somebody was involved in a high-speed chase? Nobody can hijack nothing. They stupid for trying to use it to whatever they want to use it for. But that's not how we use it. Get over yourself. Next, they'll be being and complaining about the American flag. It represents racism. Oh, we're going to take the American flag down because some people use it to destroy the reputation of... Shut up. I'm sick of these dudes. I'm sick of these cowards. I will tell the chief of LAPD to his face he a coward. If I saw him and I don't even know what he looked like. I would have to Google him. But if I saw him, I'd say, you a coward for what you did. Why don't you stand with your people? Why are you letting activists tell you how to behave? Stand with your police officers. But they won't. Because they worrying about their bottom line. They in the system. He wants that pension at the end of the day. So he's going to say and do whatever the activists want him to do so he don't lose his job and lose his pension. That's my opinion. I don't know that man personally. But when you do stuff like this, and you see how I'm talking, imagine the people that work for him, what they think. I don't work for him. Imagine what they think. And they let somebody who's an activist, who's out here probably protesting and burning down stuff and committing crimes, advocating for violence against police officers, and you let them tell you what you should do with the blue lives flag. And then when you acquiesce, you coward. When you acquiesce, then it gains leverage. Because now they're going to use you as an example of saying you have admitted that the thin blue line represents bigotry, racism, and not whatever else they want to claim. You have admitted because you now force your police department to take it down. Now everybody should. Then before you know it, men and women who lose their lives won't be able to share in the respect of the thin blue line. Screw these people. Yeah, I said it. Screw these people. It's at some point in life, there's real men and there's chumps. Real men who are willing to stand up, and then there's people who bow down, and they're going to die on their knees. Listen, I'm going to die standing up. You ain't going to find me on my knees. And I want to say something else, but I'm a Christian. You ain't going to find me down there acquiescing to people who are stupid. I'm never going to bow down to that. I'm never going to let somebody sit up and tell me cops out here just killing black people for no reason. Look, fool, I saw the video. I saw the man pull a gun on the police officer. You ain't finna tell me nothing. George Floyd died at the hands of a nutty police officer, but that fool was on fentanyl. I would argue that the cop could have got off his neck. He would have still been dead because he did fentanyl. You know how many people die from fentanyl every day? Now, you can talk all you want, but I'm not a fool. He died probably from fentanyl. That cop is a dummy. But George Floyd ain't no innocent man. He died from fentanyl. He using drugs, taking drugs, going to prison. Come on. Who's next? Rashard Brooks, the fool drinking and driving, drunk in the drive-thru, fought the cop, pulled a taser and tried to shoot the cop in the face and got smoked. That's what he gets. That's called, ladies and gentlemen, 2 + 2 = 4. You fight the cop, you try to kill the cop, he kill you. That sounds like a mathematical problem that makes sense to me. You're not finna convince me to bow down to the mob and act like this stuff is happening and it's not. There's a few people that have been killed by police unjustifiably. The rest of y'all, it's called justifiable use of force. Hold the phone, I'll be back after the break.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Don't forget to pray. And shake your hand every day. Shake your hand, shake your hand.
Need more of Brandon? The Officer Tatum podcast is available on the Salem Podcast Network, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. I'm so frustrated with what I see. I'm so frustrated with the lies. I'm so frustrated with the anti-police rhetoric. I'm sick of people when it comes to this stuff. It's like, look, if you want to complain about a legitimate police misconduct, me and you on the same page, brother. Know the facts. Watch the video. Know the law. And then make a commentary that's consistent with what the law says. Don't go out and protest and you watch 30 seconds of a video. Then you find out that it's more to the video. And then you go and hide in the corner after you already created all this damage. It's like only me and a few other people are like the realest black people in America. I'm not even the one to brag. I'm probably one of the realest black people in America. And I'm watching a guy named Charleston White. He probably the second. People just don't want to tell the truth, man. And because I'm not obligated or bound by some loyalty to a race or whatever, my only loyalty is to God. I can openly say the things that other people refuse to say. It's crazy to me. And I'm not asking people on their job to be, then shut up then. If you don't have a commentary, then stop trying to act like you're doing research and you want to be an activist. You ain't doing no research. Talking about black men getting gunned down by police. That's literally a statement that people say. No, y'all are gunning down each other. You know what I mean? Black men die at the hands of other black men every day. It's a pipe down on the police. That's the least of your worries. You living in the inner city, living in the hood. The least of your worries is the police. Because at least one of them kill you, they know who did it. And they're going to do an investigation. Ray Ray kill you, nobody gives up. You're going to be dead. Ain't nothing nobody going, and nobody snitching, nobody seen nothing. You're going to be dead. Nobody know who did it. And ain't going to be no t-shirts for you, bro. Ain't no GoFundMe for you. Your mom and them going to have to scrape up all the money they had just to put you in a box. Ain't no glory and nothing other than being a victim, it seems, in America as a black man. You want to be a black man with integrity, you get counseled. You want to be a black man and say, man, I'm looking at these rap artists and I'm listening to what they say, and that don't sound right for us to be talking about our own people like that. People get mad at me because I'm calling out the truth, but they ain't mad at the people who talk about killing each other. Anyway, I'll see y'all at the SHOT Show tomorrow. I want to see you there. SHOT Show, I'll be there 17th, 18th. That's Tuesday and Wednesday. I want to see you at the SHOT Show, Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm out.
First, faith.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.